A reading from Ephesians. So then, putting away all falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with the seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Many of you have probably heard the old saw about the Baptist minister who was rescued after many years alone on a deserted island. As they stood together on the deck of the rescue boat, the captain says to the man, "I thought you were stranded all by yourself. How come I see three huts on the shoreline?" "Oh," the rescued man said, "one is my house, and the other is my church. The third is my former church, but we had a falling out." It sounds ridiculous, but the truth in it still stings. There are falling outs, and there are splits, and in certain towns in America, there's a church on every corner. And the sad thing is, not so much that there is sometimes conflict and controversy in church. That's inevitable. For wherever two or three are gathered, there will be at least four or five opinions. But the sadness comes from seeing just how easy it is sometimes for some to simply walk away. Maybe it's a mainly Western thing. Take my family, for example. From Wales to Delaware to North Carolina to Georgia to Mississippi to Texas, all in a century and a half, they must have really been running from something or not been able to get along somewhere in order to end up in a place like Brownfield. But finally, you run out of earth. And what do you do then? Some keep running anyhow. I'm not saying that there are not reasons to leave a place. Jesus said, "Shake the dust off of your feet," and it happens, and sometimes for good. In the book of Acts, Paul and Barnabas split over the presence of John Mark, and God used both. It does happen, but not without heartache, I hope. Not without grief. Not without at least a word of goodbye. I'm talking about community and what we owe one another when we disagree or are angry with one another. Paul says today, be angry, but do not sin in your anger. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, don't let it fester or stew and then erupt all at once like a volcano. Don't be silent and brooding and mumbling and stewing and wrangling, then act out or resign in passive aggression. It's not mature. It's not grown up. It's not Christian. Christians are more accountable to our own thoughts and feelings than that. We're more accountable to each other than that. More of Paul. Putting away falsehood, let us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. I put my own translation to that this morning. Putting away false pretenses, let us be honest about our own truth with one another. For we owe it to each other. We owe it as members, not just of some country club or civic society where we are free to come and go as we please, re-up and pay our dues next year or not, but we owe it to each other as members of the body of Christ, which is what we call the church. And there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body which we in the church all belong to. And when we do belong, then it shouldn't be so easy for us simply to walk away. We belong to each other as a church. And the mark of our spiritual maturity is to grow into the belonging for one another as brothers and sisters and kindred in Christ. The mark of our maturity is to grow together in community with one another, in the fellowship of Christ. That is what church is. It's not just a place where we come to worship. It's a people we belong to. These past 16 months have been especially difficult for community in the church. During the season of COVID, the community we call church has really been put to the test. Add to the global pandemic all that has happened in America over the last 16 months, including the Black Lives Matter summer, an election, and an insurrection, and we can see how the ties that bind have really been hard tried. And if there wasn't a strong sense of connection before, then it's been, well, an opportune time to wander or to walk away. And I know that some have. So as the rest of us then begin to come back, hopefully we are coming back, we continue to monitor and adjust to COVID's resurgence. But as or when we do come back, I hope that we will come back with a renewed sense of commitment to community and to belonging and to membership with and to one another. That means not only coming to worship here, but coming for a sense of relationship and shared service. That is what binds a people to one another. A shared sense of commitment and common life together. That's what's That's what it is that holds us together. My friend Bill Wilson at the Center for Healthy Churches says that healthy churches have members in healthy relationship with one another. And he says that it's the strength of those relationships that keep them together through the hard times. He says that if you ask longtime members of healthy churches why they came to the church, they'll say all kinds of different answers. They'll say it was the worship or the missions or the music or the preacher. But, he says, if you ask a longtime member of a healthy church why it is that they've stayed at the church so long, they'll 9 out of 10 times tell you it's because of the relationships, because of the fellowship, because of friendship and connection. It's the relationships that keep us together, and that means it's us that have to together keep the relationships. And let's be honest, that's hard work. But it's our work to do. In my last congregation, the crusty old Korean War era Marine Lee Pennington was not a charter member, but he's been there for about 60 years. He's seen a lot of preachers come and go, most of which he tolerated and some of which he liked. But every year, Mr. Pennington always finds a way to make his little speech to the congregation. "You don't join the preacher," Mr. Pennington says. "You join the church." And that, I suppose, is the invitation today. To join the church. To commit or recommit ourselves to being a part of the body and being present to the community, which will, no doubt, at times, upset our convictions, challenge our politics, confront our prejudices, break our hearts, and make us sometimes mad as a hornet, and then have the gall to ask for 10% of our income to boot, and then show up when our spouse dies with a card in hand and a casserole in another and a real sense of community and care from Christ. There is nothing like it in the world. Mr. Pennington and I could hardly see the world more differently. I challenged his politics and he challenged my patience. What helped was, at the time, we both liked scotch. One day we were talking, and he told me that when he joined the church, he told the pastor at the time that he was only joining because of his wife, Beth, and that he would come and join, but he was not going to get much involved, and that he would neither tithe nor cause any trouble. I told Mr. Pennington he broke both of those two promises. I think my truth earned me his respect. And at the end of the day, when I went to leave, he wept as I held him. And I had a lump the size of Oklahoma in my throat. And we knew that no matter what, we belonged to each other. And we still do. That is the invitation. Not to simply let bygones be bygones and act like things don't bother us. That's denial and that's not real friendship. But by God, to admit things do bother us, yet nevertheless to know and act like and love like and live like we do belong to one another as brothers and as sisters and as kindred and as members of Christ's body together. Put away all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, Paul says, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you, and live in love as Christ has loved and given himself up for all of us. That's the meaning of church membership. And it's the meaning of the table that is set before us and the community that we are called to be together. And whosoever will, let them come and belong. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said.